Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Not only are you listening to the best smelling man on radio, you might be listening to the loudest smelling man on the airwaves. This is Wretched Radio. Did you notice, Jimmy?
We all did.
Got a gift. Cologne. I don't know the heart or the intention of the giver, what they were trying to suggest to me, because that was, I think, the original intention for cologne and perfume. Cover up that smell. People couldn't bathe often, so you just douse yourself in flowery flavors to cover up what's underneath. I don't know if that was the intention of the giver, but I tried it this morning, and because my nose isn't functioning courtesy of COVID, I've got nasal suppression. I think I put too much on.
Yes, you did.
Well, it kind of came out like a fire. It was a little bit of a surprise for me, too, but because I couldn't really smell it. You are listening to the loudest smelling man on radio. And speaking of odoriferous, the world's thinking. Have you been increasingly astounded at how stinky it is? Have you just continued to read story and headline and go, what? Why can you think this way? Politicians making decisions that are absolutely bonkers, detached from reality. You thought I was going to say detached from God's word. I would say to you, reality and God's word are one and the same. God has established metaphysical laws by which the universe operates. And he's also given a law book, some codes for us to understand what correct morality is. And that's the way the universe is to function. When it doesn't, it all goes kafritz. And when somebody is further detached from God, the more detached their thinking is from reality. And that is what we are seeing today. Just this morning, was speaking with Mrs. Friel, who, it was kind of weird. She had a clothespin on her nose. I don't know if that had anything to do with the cologne
issue. I don't blame her.
Nevertheless, we were chatting about, quite honestly, whatever the news story was, she saw a news article that was just, again, an example. Oh, I know what it was. Okay, here's what it was. And our current president has decided, in order to determine how racist our country is, he's inviting the UN to do an investigation. First of all, I don't know how you investigate that. Second of all, if you hear that and you go, boing, springs pop out of your head, what's up with that? It's because you believe in nations. You believe in the Tower of Babel. You believe that God has defined lines. You know that biblically it is good for nations to exist because that's the way that God set it up. And yet we have people today who want a one world sort of economy, a global economy, and that all the borders are just wide open. There's a blurring of the lines between nations. And we let people from anywhere come in and tell us what to do because we're not a sovereign nation. That thinking is just like, bing, to me. And that's just one example of a gazillion. Here's another example for your consideration. MSNBC has a program called The Cross Connection because it's hosted by a woman named Tiffany Cross. I'm sorry. Can I call her Tiffany? Because I don't know if that's the correct. Can I use her actual? I called her a woman. Maybe that was a big mistake. Maybe she identifies as a they. I don't know. But on this program, she had a guest, a doctor of something or another, who suggested that the anti-vaxxer movement. Now, please note, this is not a commentary on vaccinations, nor the categorizing that she does. But nevertheless, the anti-vaxxer movement is what? So here's a thinker on national television explaining what's really behind the folks that are opposed to a vaccination. that the government has concocted for us. Would you have said it's a demonstration of white supremacy? No, you wouldn't have. But this doctor did, saying that people who are opposed, who don't want to get a vaccination, they're actually targeting communities of color. Sometimes in a debate, you can see a rhetorical device that is really super transparent. Somebody goes, that isn't even worthy of a response. You know, the argument is so fallaciously concocted. It's like, I don't want to deal with your argument because it's just so dopey. Well, there actually can be times when that's valid. Sometimes people use it because they really can't articulate the problem. We can articulate the problem, but this is just getting so goofy. It's almost difficult to unwind this. We are living in a world detached from reality. Ken Ham is feeling that same sting. From the Scientific American, denial of evolution is a form of white supremacy. Hey, Jimmy, you know what's going to be next? Wearing cologne is white supremacy.
I knew it.
And actually, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing because, wow, I have to confess, I think I'm actually giving myself a headache. Denial of evolution is a form of white supremacy. Scientific American, how did they get there? We've seen some progress in the classroom, writes the Scientific American. From 2007 to 2019, the percentage of teachers who present evolution without a creationist alternative grew dramatically from 51 to 67%. But it's not enough. That's right. Dun, dun, dun. It's not enough. We want world domination. My hope, writes the author of the Scientific American article, is that if we make the connection between creationism and racist ideology clearer, we will provide more ammunition to get science into the classroom and into our culture at large. This is a demonstration of scientism where we think that any observation about anything, whether it's social science, whether it's history, whatever, that we know, whether it's evolutionary science, we've got all of this thing figured out. And scientists, and if you wear a lab coat, you are a guru, you are a priest, you are a scientism theologian. I guess without the theos part, the point is, scientism is worshipped as the way to explain the way the world works. And now they're trying to say that science is connected to racism in that if you deny evolution, you're racist. You're asking, how did they get there? And the answer is Romans 1. I don't think that we understand Romans 1 to the profundity that we need to in our current culture. God's way of thinking is right and perfect and good and just all the time. And when a culture, when an individual moves further and further away from that, it appears to be more and more ridiculous because it is. Science deniers are pumping money into a well-funded anti-evolution machine. In 2007, the creationists built their own Bible-themed museum and amusement park. That's right. Answers in Genesis is now racist. Because they want to follow the Bible. And they want to teach what God's word says. I mean, it's just, forget about freedom of religion being just completely thrashed with this person's worldview. This is just bonkers. Do they know anybody at Answers in Genesis? Have they asked them? Do they have any proof of this? No. No, they don't. By the way, Ken Ham's Ark Encounter is to build an expansion featuring the Tower of Babel. That I had heard about, which is very cool. We're going to see a Genesis 9 recreation as best we can of the Tower of Babel because it is such an important part of understanding how the world works, why we have nations, why we have languages, why we don't have just fluid, open borders, why there are some lines that are drawn. It also explains ethnicities and skin colors. All of that, courtesy of the Tower of Babel. But this was interesting. Ken Ham says the expansion of the theme park's grounds in northern Kentucky, lovely there, will also include an exceptionally well-done model of what Jerusalem may have looked like at the time of Christ, which will be ready in 2022. That would be cool, wouldn't it? To get a better understanding of what life was like for Jesus and what life was like for the people who wrote the Bible, where they were writing it, what they were looking at. It all has an impact. And I think the folks at AIG are just doing a bang-up job. And I've also, in this particular article from the Christian Post, the $100 million Ark Encounter is seeing record crowds. I am so glad for that. The attendance is returning to pre-pandemic levels with up to 7,000 visitors on Saturdays. Oh, man. I want to make your plans for the Ark Encounter on the weekday. If you don't like human beings, I am thrilled to pieces. Because if any Christian ministry took a hit during the pandemic, it was Answers in Genesis. That would be an answer to prayers. And it's really good news, but there's just one problem. Jimmy, do you know what it is with Answers in Genesis?
What's that? Tell me.
They're racist! That's it. This is Romans 1. I'm sorry. Wretched Radio. Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Leonard Ravenhill once said, "No man is greater than his prayer life." Without developing a deep, intimate, and meaningful prayer life, a Christian will find it much easier to fall to temptation. But our lives are also full of distractions, and we have to be intentional about putting the cell phones away and turning the TV off while we talk to our Father in heaven. I'd also like to offer another suggestion you might find extremely helpful. That's the resource, Face to Face, Praying the Scripture, by Dr. Kenneth Boa. Dr. Boa helps you learn to approach your prayer life in a whole new way by guiding you through over 90 scripture-based prayers of adoration, confession, renewal, petition, intercession, affirmation, and thanksgiving. Grab a copy of Face to Face by Dr. Kenneth Boa today and watch your prayer life become more focused, more intense, and more biblical. Pick your copy up right now by visiting wretched.org/pray. That's wretched.org/pray.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Important dates in Christian history. 988 AD. After examining several religions, Vladimir, Prince of Kiev, chooses Orthodox Christianity to unify and guide the Russian people. Even after a century of atheistic communist rule, Orthodoxy remains at the core of life in Eastern Europe to this day. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Speaking of the Ark, This is Wretched Radio. Answers in Genesis. Currently, thousands of people walking through a recreation of Noah's Ark. It is a magnificent museum, because that's what it is. It's not like some sort of theme park. It's a museum. Tons of teaching. Please go with your family and then get up to the Creation Museum a little further north. Spend a day at each and you will be more edified and you will be more secure in your knowledge. Genesis has a lot of answers. And that's pretty catchy. Genesis has a lot of answers. We could work with that. So the other night, I'm reading Answers Magazine. This is a great magazine to get for you and your family, especially if you are at all interested in science stuff at all. And even if you're not, a knucklehead like me can actually read this and get this stuff. The headline on, or the cover on this particular issue, the 7 best evidences of the global flood. This will ring in your ears. You are going to love this. You're going to go, yes, yes, that's right. My Bible is true. Somebody who doesn't believe in God will not receive this information. How can that be? How can two people in the same room hearing the same evidence come up with such radically different conclusions? That is the moral to this 7-point story. You and I love this because we believe it. The world who does not believe, they cannot receive it. It's staggering to me. It's just amazing to me when you hear a scientific scoffer say, well, the world being covered in water, that's ridiculous. Have they never flown to Europe or the Middle East or to Asia? Look down from your window. If you've got a window seat and they don't make you close the window and wear a mask over your head. The point is, there's a lot of water on the planet. 3/4 of the earth is already covered. It wouldn't be that much more difficult for God to take care of the other quarter. And yet they deny it. Why? To the evidence we go, courtesy of Answers Magazine. Number 1, marine fossils high on mountains. Did you know that? There are marine fossils. They should be in the water way down below, and yet they're on top of the mountains. Go figure. From the magazine, fossils are one of the best evidences of a global flood, especially where many fossils are found. Example, we don't find marine creatures such as fish, clams, and corals buried and fossilized on the seafloor where they once lived. Huh. Instead, we find most of them buried in a sedimentary rocks on the continents, even on high mountains. For that to happen, the ocean waters had to totally flood the continents, and I would even suggest recede somewhat rapidly, and that's exactly what the Bible describes. We find ammonite fossils, squids with shells, in limestone layers, high up on the Himalayas in Nepal, near the top of Mount Everest. Maybe somebody brought him up there. I know, Ken Ham. He went up the mountain. He just put him there so that you got that evidence. It's all a scam, what it is. Why do you love hearing this and others hate it? It explains why our world is the way that it is. We find marine fossils in most rock layers exposed in the Grand Canyon walls in Arizona. That's why. I don't know who runs it. I haven't been to the Grand Canyon. I think I flew over it somewhat recently. It was off in the distance, and the pilot didn't come on to say, ladies and gentlemen, to your left would be the Grand Canyon. Bing. That was the bell sound, by the way. That's right. That's my vocal range. Number 2 evidence of a global flood, massive fossil graveyards around the world. Number 3, exquisitely preserved fossils. Some squids with were fossilized with ink still in their ink sacs. And in a classic example of rapid burial, and it's a an ichthyosaur, a marine reptile apparently, about 6 feet long, was fossilized at the moment it was giving birth. How does that happen? Boom! Something caught it and overwhelmed it and fossilized it. A flood did that. Only the catastrophic global flood could rapidly bury so many large creatures in layers that are so extensive. Number four, sediment spread around the continents, covering vast areas, every continent. Sedimentary rocks laid down by the catastrophic flood conditions. Many of these sediment layers can be traced all the way across the continents and even between continents. What is the scientific explanation for that? From an evolutionary standpoint, which of course denies, well, pretty much everything in Genesis and everywhere else. This is proof that God flooded the world as he said in the Bible. Number five, features of the sedimentary layers. Number six, no sign of millions of years between the layers. There should be, but there aren't. At the boundaries between some sedimentary layers, we find evidence of only rapid erosion. In most other cases, the boundaries are flat and featureless with absolutely no evidence of erosion, which is consistent with no long periods of elapsed time during the global flood cataclysm. This was a cataclysmic event. Boom, big. In so many ways, in the outpouring of water, and the receding of the water, that changed the planet, and it explains why we have sedimentary layers, why we have fossil graveyards, and why we've got fossils way up on the hills. All proof that the Bible is true. Number seven, evidence in the folds. Further evidence that these layers were laid down quickly, not over millions of years, are the folds we find in these sediment layers. They go into the details of that. The moral to this particular story is we have the scientific proof that God's word is accurate, but the world scoffs. Oh, those fairy stories. They worship science, and yet when you show them some scientific work, which is just looking at the fossils, studying them, now interpreting them, of course, is always, that's always an issue that we can bring a subjective opinion to. But this substantiates the thesis that is given to us in Genesis 9, that God created a world and he washed it out with water, the entire thing, not a regional flood, a global flood. Because remember, if it were only a regional flood, God would not have told Noah to build a boat. He would have told him to build a moving vehicle, pack up the family, and go to where you're not going to be drowned. But he didn't do that. He built a boat because it was a global flood. Answers Magazine, the seven best evidences of the global flood, and a ton of other stuff in that magazine, revealing that this Bible is true. Why doesn't the world get it? Why doesn't the world respond to, this would be apologetics, what you just heard. This is a defense of the Christian faith. See, the evidence that we observe is in alignment with God's word, written down for us 3,400 years ago, the account of the flood. And just interestingly, if you've ever wondered, the books of Moses, the first five books, the Pentateuch, how is it that at the very end, we see Moses dying and we hear his death, if you will, described? Who wrote that? Moses couldn't have written that. Well, historically, and this wouldn't be something that would raise an eyebrow of anybody in the Middle East, even if an individual didn't write something but collected the stories and put them together, it's just called that person's work. So who wrote down the death of Moses? Probably Joshua, but it still is called a part of the books of Moses. Why? Because he collected them, he wrote some of them perhaps, and he was the one who gets the credit for it, even though he couldn't tell us about the last few paragraphs because he was already dead. It's not an issue. What's at issue with the book of Genesis and the books of Moses is a world whose heart is hard. You and I have a tendency to want to fix their brains. We see their thinking. It's so preposterous. It's so detached from a reality and they're wrecking everything. And we look at it and we go, our kids and the next generations, and what are we leaving for them? Freedom of religion, freedom of speech, common sense, which died a couple of decades ago. We want to fix it, and we think that if we just address the head, their thinking will get better. That is not the way God operates, and I mean that in a surgical kind of way. He fixes the heart. He regenerates the soul. Then the thinking will improve. So if you and I mourn and grieve over the state of affairs of our current 21st century world, please learn your apologetics, get Answers Magazine, study the 7 best evidences of the global flood, knowing that it will never persuade or convert anybody, but the Word of God can. So share your apologetics when necessary, but preach the gospel constantly. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. The latest update to the list of emojis that we all have come to know and love is being worked on and looking to be finalized in September of this year. And on the draft list of the new emojis, if finalized, a pregnant man emoji. Emojipedia says the pregnant dude is included for consistent gender options for pregnancy. But men can't get pregnant, so what does that even mean? Oh my goodness. Well, the Black Lives Matter organization back in the news as they released a controversial statement on Cuba that criticizes the U.S. embargo and then goes a step further by supporting the revolution that installed the country's communist government. The statement was released on social media, including on the Black Lives Matter Facebook page, as Cuban citizens march in opposition to their leaders. It should come as no surprise, as the leadership of Black Lives Matter stated last year that they are full Marxists. A 39-year-old man in eastern Uganda who recently put his faith in Christ is still recovering from a machete blow to his head by a Muslim relative in late June. And that close family member was actually the man's brother. A village elder who witnessed the attack retrieved health workers who rushed to attend to the man. They transported him by motorcycle to a medical facility in a nearby town where a highly respected doctor treated him. The doctor said the man will survive but needs rest and more treatment. And as we tell you all the time, if you're not doing so, please make sure that you are praying for our brothers and sisters abroad. Well, a federal appeals court reportedly allowed a judge from Texas to resume his chaplain-led prayers while the First Amendment lawsuit against his tradition continues. Montgomery County, Texas Justice of the Peace Wayne Mack was allowed by the United States Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit to continue his chaplain-led invocations while in the midst of a lawsuit against him by a lower court for doing so as unconstitutional. First Liberty Institute, which is a group of lawyers that defend religious liberty for all Americans, is representing Mack in the court case against him, and they announced the Fifth Circuit decision earlier this week. A new report says that pastors in China are reportedly being forced to include President Xi Jinping's speech in their sermons during worship in line with the celebration of the Chinese Communist Party. Reports are saying that there were 9 components of Xi's speech that were asked to be integrated into pastors' lectures and during discussions in their Bible study groups during a conference meeting that involved the Chinese Christian Council and the 3 self-patriotic movement. Bitter Winter added that the pastors were expected by the government to hail the president and the CCP at the end of their lecture or Bible study with, quote, "Long live the great, glorious, and correct Communist Party." Well, isn't that nice? More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible. The prophet Jeremiah preached judgment and repentance to Judah for more than 40 years. He was mocked, beaten, and imprisoned. But in the end, God's judgment came upon Judah. When you hold fast to the word of God, you will be heartbroken, mocked, and even persecuted. But let Jeremiah remind you that every word of God will prove true. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to be encouraged. That's right. Prepare to be encouraged here on Wretched Radio. Would like to encourage you and yet potentially convict you with not one but 2 demonstrations that reveal, quite honestly, to our shame, that the world does not understand the core tenet of Christianity, the big kaboom, what we're all about, what this religion is. The world does not know the gospel. And this should convict us and encourage us to get on it and start making the main thing the main thing. And leave the smaller stuff aside if it comes at the expense of preaching the main thing, which is the gospel. If you're in Great Britain, you certainly know who Boris Johnson is. He's the prime minister who recently spoke out about his Christian faith, and this is grievous to me. Okay, he was born into the Catholic Church. He's been divorced. He got married twice in the Anglican Church. In other words, it's a bit of a mess. Nevertheless, his comments about his Christian faith when asked, "What do you believe?" reveal he doesn't understand the gospel. This was a lengthy biographical piece published in The Times last Saturday. A friend of the prime minister reportedly told several news outlets that he suspected that Johnson believed in a pre-Christian morality system with a multitude of gods and no clear set of rules. Johnson responded and said, "Christianity is a superb ethical system, and I would count myself as a kind of very, very bad Christian. No disrespect to any other religions, but Christianity makes a lot of sense to me." All right. Where's his understanding of forgiveness of sins in that comment? Now, I know the context of it was Christianity being an ethical system, so I don't blame him for responding in that context to say, no, it's a good ethical system. But he reveals a little bit more in that. He says, "But I'm a very, very bad Christian." Now, there's a part of us that understands Romans chapter 7. Paul felt the very same way. "I am the chief of sinners, O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death?" But we get Romans 8 after Romans chapter 7. But thanks be to God, because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't appear Boris knows that. And he's made other comments that talk about just trying to be a good person. Why? Because he doesn't understand the guts of Christianity. He doesn't understand this is about reconciliation with God, period. This is not about how to run a government. This is not how to operate a family. This is not how to be a better employee or a better golfer. This is about being reconciled to God. That's the Christian faith. The rest is window dressing. I don't think the man knows the gospel. Demonstration number two, the world doesn't know the gospel. Bruce Jenner, appearing as Caitlyn Jenner on Fox News, started talking about Christianity. And what you are going to hear, and this is grievous to us, it should convict us that somebody like Bruce Jenner, who claims to be a Christian, doesn't know the gospel. What church was he going to? Well, I guess a church that would encourage him to dress in women's clothing, but a church that doesn't preach the core tenets of the faith.
And so my whole life, I struggled with this issue. I snuck around. I wasn't honest with myself. A lot of times not honest with other people. And that all changed when I finally had my final conversation with God.
Hello. Bruce Jenner talking about feeling like he was always in the wrong body. Side note, there's a documentary. You might want to search it out. I wish I could tell you where it is appearing, but this was from the Christian Post. It's called Transmission. It's a documentary, this is the headline, that exposes the unconscionable rush to transition gender dysphoric kids. Some of the comments of the description of the documentary, fascinating. A recent study from the United Kingdom found a 5% increase among teenage girls going to gender clinics. 5,000%? That's a lot. More and more young girls that are hopping onto this new fad think, quote, from one of the filmmakers, "This will solve boys whistling at me if I don't look like a girl and don't look pretty or have a nice shape." Many people have been suspecting that a lot of young people, if they've been bullied, they haven't been cool, have recognized, hey, if I want to be in, if I want to be treated specially, I need to have some sort of gender or sexuality issue. And so they claim to be in the wrong body because it helps them with their popularity. This is another view that says they're doing it because they're so tired of the boys going after them that maybe if they let them know, look, I'm just not a target that's available, it'll stop. If that's true, that's really tragic. And it tells you about the state of boys in this country. Transmission, the name of the documentary, also exposes the fear-mongering tactics used by some doctors. One mother shares how a medical professional scared her into thinking her teenage daughter would die by suicide unless she gave the child puberty blockers. One mother shared how, unbeknownst to her, her child's teachers and school counselors socially transitioned her child by using her daughter's preferred pronouns. The documentary, it's called Transmission. Bruce Jenner, describing his struggle with being transgendered, says that he finally came to terms with it when he had his last conversation with God, revealing he just doesn't know the gospel.
Discussed with all my children, but the last thing I had to do was sit down with my pastor. Because if anybody has any issues in their life that they're struggling, and everybody does, everybody's got stuff they have to deal with. And if they have any faith in their soul whatsoever, they sit there and they go, God, why'd you do this? Why is this issue for me of identity in my head 24 hours a day, every day, 365 days out of the year? You can't take two aspirin, get plenty of sleep, wake up the next morning, and you're fine. It's just always there. It's who you are.
Well, you can say that, but the Bible actually does explain it. You don't have to ask God to speak from the heavens. He's already spoken through his word. We're all goofed up because of the fall. We've got issues. He is right. We've all got issues. This is an effect of the fall. So what we need to determine is who is going to draw the line straight. Is it we with our thinking about the way reality should be, or is it God who has already determined what reality is?
But why? And so this question was always in my heart. And sitting, I sat down with my pastor, and you know what? I thought, is there a reason for this? Am I doing the right thing? Do I need to come out and make a difference in probably the most marginalized community in the world? After long thought, I said, you know what? At this point in my life, my kids are raised, everybody's fine. Maybe it's time I take care of myself.
Isn't that fascinating? There were some things in his life that were a curb. Family is a curb to keep daddies from sinning.
Because when that day comes and you go up to the pearly gates.
Here it comes.
And you're walking up the stairs and you're seeing God in front of you, and you just ask that question, did I do a good job?
How can he not know the answer to that? No, you didn't, but Jesus did. Your ticket is provided for you. You don't earn your way there. It's been earned for you. How can he not know this in America?
I do the right thing. And just hope he says, hey, come on in. I did a good job. Yeah. So that's what my life's been about.
Working.
Just trying to be myself, and I can be myself now. I couldn't do it before because I had too many secrets in my book, Secrets of My Life. I got all my secrets out. I have no secrets anymore.
He doesn't. But what is secretive to him is how your soul is forgiven and how you can be credited with being righteous. How can he not know that? Let this be an encouragement. Is that what it was? And encourage Victor?
That's a great word.
This should encourage us. Get on it, because we should feel convicted about this. That the Christian message, the loudest message that it appears, this is my opinion, from the Christian church in the public platform has been political. That's our loudest message, in my opinion. And the loudest message from the Christian church should be Christ. You need Christ. You need a Savior. You need forgiveness. You need to put your trust in Him before the day of wrath. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, and Jesus Christ has made a way for you. That should be the loudest message. Constantly. And if anybody thinks, well, people will get tired of hearing it, well, maybe, but I know Christians don't, which is why, Pastor, please make sure you don't grow weary of preaching the gospel. We need to, and we love to hear it, and we should be preaching it, not just to our kids, to our neighbors, to Bruce Jenner, to anybody we'll hear. Let us be convicted of this potential error that I believe exists, and let us be encouraged to get back to the good old message of that old rugged cross. This is Wretched Radio. You say Edith in Romania, they say Edith.
Burdened by the hopelessness surrounding her, Edith prayed for a way to bring the gospel to Çocalı. Since she started in 2008, she has discipled more than 100 children in this small village, and countless lives have been changed.
If you have never been to Romania, permit me to draw the picture. Think poor, forsaken, dead town in the middle of nowhere. That is where the Tomorrow Clubs thrive. Kids clubs bringing the gospel to small villages. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. The church gets revitalized. And this is happening all over Eastern Europe, courtesy of the Tomorrow Clubs and you. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Clubs? TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. In our newest resource, Wretched Worldview, seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Who needs Rich Little? You might have to Google that. When you've got me, don't know if you realize this, I do impressions, and this is my impersonation of Dr. John MacArthur. I'll just riff, ad lib about the Master's Academy International in hopes that you will consider supporting your own mini seminary in one of 17 nations around the world. Here we go.
Strong pastors in strong churches impact the entire culture from the inside. And that is the vision of TMAI, to go when we are invited by indigenous pastors who want to do it biblically. And that's our mission.
Not bad, eh? Would you please check out the Master's Academy International at wretched.org/pastor and consider adopting a seminary overseas? The fruit, magnificent. As John MacArthur would say, wretched.org/pastor.
Attributes of God. Aseity is the word for God's self-existence. Nobody made God. God is the unmoved mover who causes all other things to be. All things depend on God for their continued existence. God does not need his creation. He chose to create us to glorify him and enjoy him forever. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Looks like I won't be needing this gig for long. This is Wretched Radio. Thanks to Jimmy, I just realized I'm going to be like Tevye wanted to be, a rich man, because I'm going to be rolling in the trademark dough. Coining a term. What was the term?
You don't even know the term.
Concouraged. Concouraged when you're simultaneously convicted and encouraged. That's my word. So we just used it three times, if I'm not mistaken. I'll just sit and wait for the royalty checks. Did you know that there are some Christians who have actually trademarked their statements so that others can't use them? which apparently doesn't seem to be much of a problem these days, that you use anything that you want to. Zoinks, Scoob, there once was a time when intellectual property was not esteemed highly just by trademark attorneys, but by Christians. We don't take another person's work. That's not the way that a Christian behaves. Instead, the pastor is to do his own work and present it as his own work, not use somebody else's work and present it as his own work, which it turns out is happening a lot these days. I mean, a lot these days. It is thought that tens of thousands, if not six digits, of pastors are using other works and peddling them as their own. Whoa, church. This is a cancer that needs to be excised, encouraged. It needs to get out of here. We don't need this in the church. We need to do better than this. And right now, what's causing this to be revealed in the light is a disclosure, video evidence, that the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention has not just plagiarized a word, a sentence, a sermon, but potentially 140 sermons that have been scrubbed from his church's website. Because it was revealed, courtesy of somebody who went and listened to his sermons and recognized, yikes, they sure do sound a lot like J.D. Greer. They posted an antiphonal back and forth. Here's J.D. Greer. Here's Ed Litton. See, it's word for word. It's not just kind of thoughts or generalizations. It wasn't that form of plagiarism that could at least be closer to a line. This is just word for word business. Turns out there's also an associate pastor at the same church does the exact same thing from J.D. Greer's material. Hold on. The soup just got thicker. The wife of the current president of the Southern Baptist Convention also plagiarizes sermons. You say, wait a second, how is it that the wife of the Southern Baptist Convention president is preaching sermons? Great question. The answer to that, provided by Ed Litton, the president of the SBC, he said that he's a complementarian, which means that he believes men and women have roles. But in this instance, he does allow his woman to preach and have authority over men because she's doing it with him on the same platform. Therefore, it doesn't count. Turns out now, this was just released, that Timothy Keller was preaching September 1st, 1991 is when he was preaching. And it turns out within the last year or two, Kathy Litton, the wife of Ed Litton, and Ed Litton dug back deep to September 1st, 1991.
Three constituent parts to it. The ability to hear criticism without being crushed.
There are three things that reveal whether or not we have a servant's heart. And these are three important statements. And the first one is the ability to hear criticism and correction without being crushed. We know that we have a servant heart.
Secondly, the ability to give criticism without crushing.
The second indicator is the ability to give criticism or correction without crushing.
Thirdly, the ability to forgive people without residual anger.
And the third feature that reveals from that with servant heart is the ability to forgive without lingering anger.
Whoa. What a tangled web has been woven. Tim Keller, 1991, being echoed by Kathy and Ed Litton in what, 2018, 19, 20, something like that.
Whew. That's what I mean by a servant heart, the ability to take your mind off yourself.
A servant heart is the ability to take your mind off of yourself and care about the other person.
Oh, no. It's word for word being proclaimed as if it's his own and her own words when it was actually Tim Keller's. It would be grand if the Southern Baptist Convention would step up to the plate and address this and deal with this. Because this is out there. It shouldn't be dealt with in there. That tends to be, and overall, I believe, this is a wonderful attribute about the Southern Baptist Convention. They try to protect their own. They don't air dirty laundry. I think that's admirable, but I think that sometimes a rule should be better labeled a principle that in some instances might not need to be adhered to. In fact, should be broken. And I think this is one of those times. There needs to be some sort of a revealing of what is the attitude of the SBC about plagiarizing? And what are they going to do with their president who is neck deep in plagiarism? I think that if you're in the Southern Baptist Convention, let's not light torches. This is a man who certainly from the pulpit and in his faith statement is orthodox in his belief. He is neo-reformed. He's not fully reformed. He's neo-reformed. He's orthodox. And therefore, he and she should be treated like brother and sister who are in some danger. And so this shouldn't cause us to be like, gang, 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 yeah, let's get them, and look at the rot in the SBC. If you're in the SBC, I might encourage you, please consider lovingly dealing with this on the local level to see what you might be able to do as a church to speak to the national level respectfully. I think that this is an issue that if it's not dealt with, it would be one of the signs that there are a group of people who are right. Presently, regarding the SBC, the assessment, is it a convention that can be saved or is it a goner? There are people who believe that there's good hope here. There's some good stuff going on. Now, don't forget, despite this current mess that Ed Litton is embroiled in, he's neo-reformed. So he's a conservative guy. He's not as conservative as you and I probably are, but he's not a heretic. So that's good. And a lot of people are seeing many good signs in the SBC. The number of votes for Mike Stone. Mike Stone himself, he appeared on this program, and he said he's encouraged about the Southern Baptist Convention, that this thing can be reclaimed, another conservative ascendancy. This happened, this resurgence took place in the 1990s with Dr. Al Mohler, David Miller, Adrian Rogers, and others to really recapture the Southern Baptist Convention. And yet, I think what is fair to state is, of course, not everybody in the SBC went that full direction, but overall, it is tilting to the right. And that's positive. And there are people who are saying, therefore, we have hope. On the other hand, there are people who are going, nope, that ship is sinking. Bail out. Jump now. Put your energies into starting a new denomination. And I think that this could be one of those times when, look, I'm not an SBC expert. I'm not a guru on all things SBC. And furthermore, I don't have an omniscience that would give me a bird's eye view of everything that is happening. And I certainly don't know what God is doing. But I honestly understand why I wouldn't criticize either side of that. You think there's hope? I say go for it. You think your church has to jump? I say, I understand. I'm not your church. I don't know everything about the SBC. And I think even as we all go about the business of watching this story unfold, we should at least be able to do it lovingly, recognizing different people are going to have different takes on these situations where it is right sometimes for both parties, even though they make a different decision, because it's based on different information and it's based on where God has their church and them in their spiritual walk and any other considerations. And so I think this is one of those times where I would say I get both sides of that. Which side is right? I don't know. Will there come a time when the memo is sent out? That's it. The line has been crossed. It's time to skedaddle. I guess that could happen. We're going to watch and hope that doesn't happen. Shouldn't we be hoping that it doesn't happen? That the Southern Baptist Convention and those who are holding on should be encouraged to stay in the denomination? And to fight for it, I understand there can come a time when you just lose, hope is gone. Perhaps you've experienced that in the local church. It went a little wonky. You tried to rescue it and it just kept veering to the left and you finally had to go, we're out of here. I think different people are going to pack their parachutes at different times with the SBC, but our hope should be that nobody does and that the SBC deals with this. And maybe you could help them deal with this wisely and well by encouraging them from the local level to the national level to please Let's spell this out. Let's address it so that not just this pulpit, but potentially tens of thousands of pulpits can be cleansed from plagiarism. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.